I'm all wound up, sorry, like wire-wise, not emotionally. Emotionally, I'm kind of tired, to be honest, because I remember when Fiona was very little, and I felt like she always got sick on Saturday nights. Like, and that apparently doesn't change when you become a teenager. So no COVID or anything like that. But yeah, it was she had a hard time sleeping. So needless to say, so did I. I'm really thankful that we were able to kind of slide in this bonus movie to wrap up our coming of age summer movie series. Because eldership has been something that I've been passionate about for a few years. This movie just does such a wonderful job of interweaving the gifts of eldership and how the stories of our elders just create space for us to breathe. And one example of this that I'm sure is relatable in some way is if you have had children, and then you see how your parents treat your children versus what they, how they raised you. It's like, where were you when I was a kid? Like, why couldn't I have two servings of ice cream for breakfast? Like, why? But there is something that happens, and I kind of feel this even like when Brandon or some of you with littler ones will talk about like potty training. Or there is something that like when you have, when you're further out, you're like, oh gosh, they are not going to walk down the aisle going to the bathroom. You're fine. Like, it takes time. It's up and down. Like, but when you're in it and you're doing it, it's like a completely different experience. But to me, these are just like micro examples of eldership and the gifts that they can give to our communities and to our families. Fiona's birthday is May 27th, and so this year, her grandmother gave her a really wonderful sewing machine, handing it down. And she wasn't able to use it until we moved in, because our house was naturally a disaster until that point. And as soon as we got settled in, she set up her sewing station and began making different things, and pretty quick into the process, she started running into problems. And her grandma had given her the instructional manual, but you can read certain things and it's still, you're still not sure. So thank goodness Sue was only a text away for her. So I think there was about 5 days in a row where Fiona was texting Sue, asking her, like, my machine's broken. Like, it's not working. And then, of course, it would just be, oh, you just have to push this button. Or, and she would have read the manual, but the manual only got her so far. And so the final day that she texted Sue, she was putting through, like, netting and fabric, and the machine was just kind of struggling, and it was making this noise. And so Fiona started worrying that she was going to break the machine, that it wasn't going to keep going. So she texts Sue, and Sue comes over, I'm sure probably at this point, like, is this going to be my whole life for the next 10 years? And Sue's like, oh, the machine is going to be fine. And Fiona goes, well, how thick of a material is too thick for the machine? And Sue goes, well, I'd say about the finger of a five-year-old. Because when Sue started sewing, she was 5 years old. And she got her finger under there. And she said it went through just fine. So don't worry about the fabric. But what I love about this story, not just that it's kind of horrifying, and Sue's obviously a very strong, pain-tolerant person, but it's that it drew Fiona's attention away from the false fear of breaking a machine by pushing it too hard and redirected her to the very real threat of you need to pay attention when you're sewing. Like, don't be so worried about yourself and what you might break out in the world, and pay attention to your, how you're doing, so that you're not pushing too hard, that you would hurt yourself. To me, this is a call of the elder. And there is a difference between an older, as Michael Mead would call them, and an elder. And that we all will grow older, but that white hair isn't what makes the elder, is what he says. And I'm guessing that that's something he's pulling from somewhere else. But eldership is this spiritual process that we go through. And in the movie, one of the reasons I picked this movie is because that it demonstrates that process of being able to see this metanoma, right? The bigger story that's happening in our world, and to hold that umbrella under all of us who haven't been there yet. Through all of us who are kind of caught up in the moments of, will my child ever use the toilet forever? Or will my teenager, like, ever be able to organize her assignments? Or whatever that thing is that feels just so overwhelming and scary, the elders are able to kind of hold up this umbrella and say, when the sun isn't shining directly in your face, can you see the landscape in front of you? Because I've walked down that road before. I've been there before, and you're going to make it. Eldership, Michael Mead talks about, he writes this quote, "Despite inevitable body aches and pains, genuine elders become the deepest source of life, affirming energy in a culture. They give us both balance and perspective. They are the ones that foster unity above self-interest and harmony over conflicts. While olders," he says, "are people who feed the divisions in a society." The elder, Michael Mead says, is someone who has fallen into the darkness, survived, and come back with an awakened sense of who they are and what their place is in the world. And because of their awakened sense of who they are in the world, they are able to sustain our connection to who we are in the world. Although an infant becomes a child simply by aging, a person cannot become an elder by simply becoming older. Rather, there is something metaphysical involved, something philosophical and spiritual is required. Old age doesn't make an elder. And yet we live in a society that is filled with olders, and so the possibility of elders is even greater now. In 2020, about 16.9% of Americans were over 65. Last night, I went and listened to Jim Charlier play the guitar, and one of the songs he played was "Will You Still Love Me at 65? And I was like, at 65, like, I hope so, because, like, I still got, hopefully, like, 20 or 30 good years in me after that, right? Like, our lifespan has changed tremendously. In 1950, only 8% of the population was over 65. And growing older in 1950 was a lot different than it is to grow older now. People used to actually lie that they were older than they were so that they would have access to opportunities, because there was more respect given to people who were older. Now we know that the story has changed, and older people face much more discrimination. It's harder to find a job. It's harder to have access to things that we use to create society around, being able to pull older people into community because we valued the knowledge they held, the history that they could tell. But all of these new technologies began to rise so quickly. Fiona asked me like 2 years ago, she was upset because I was like making her hold off on getting a cell phone. And she said, "Well, when did you get a cell phone?" I said, "Well, you don't want to wait until I got a cell phone, because they didn't exist until I was out of college, like at least not affordably." Our world has changed so much, and we talk about that all the time. Like, the World Wide Web wasn't a thing when I was a child. I'm not sure. I think we had one PBS channel, and it had Sesame Street and then Mr. Rogers. There wasn't like Netflix or any of this stuff. And all of these new technologies have shifted our world in a way that we have direct access to all of the information that we need, or that we think we need. The Google is our source of knowledge and intellect. And with all of these new technologies come new areas of expertise and new vocations. And suddenly this eldership is something that we don't have time for. Except that eldership is the exact thing we need to determine whether or not these new technologies are connecting us to the communities that we hope to become or that we hope to be. We are more divided, more secluded, more isolated than ever. And if we listen to the things that our children say, our teenagers say, it's as though they have no idea that we have gone through the same things that they have, with or without a cell phone. We all have made fairly large mistakes in our lives. Most of us have at some point cheated on a test. Most of us have done things that we think were really bad ideas looking back. And most of us know that even though it felt like it at the time, it was not the end of the story. That there are always rooms on the highway of life for U-turns, however painful or dangerous they may feel. And the elders are the ones that draw our attention to the wideness of the road, who have U-turned many times down whatever dark road they found themselves going and saw the light that guided them to the place that they wanted to be all along. We need elders in our community. We need this metanoma, this greater understanding. We need the councils, the leadership teams who gather together like the Seneca tribes and make decisions by asking, how will this affect the next 7 generations? There is an old tale which I believe originates probably from a Japanese myth. This legend that is inspired around a cultural tradition, which probably isn't true, that once a person turned 60 years old of age, they were sent out by the community to abandon themselves. They were literally sent out to walk over the hill and not come back. A daughter and a son, upon their father turning 60, walked him up and over the hill. When they noticed that he was pulling off tips from the evergreen trees and tossing them behind his shoulder as he walked along the path, and his daughter and his son became kind of worked up, and they looked at him and they said, "Father, you don't need to be marking the path. You're not going to be coming back." And he looked at his daughter and he looked at his son and he said, "I'm not marking the path for myself. I'm marking the path for you so you don't get lost." And upon becoming aware that their father had much wisdom and was thinking of their future and had something to offer that they would lose permanently without him, they banded together and decided not to abandon each other, and turned around and walked back into the culture, knowing that no matter what the culture thought, they needed to be together. Our society needs great healing. And the church is the place where we are called together to think counterculturally about the world, to see things upside down and backwards, and to understand that God's order is not the American consumer order. That we are most likely to learn and act subversively when we are in love, when we are called to protect one another. For our children, we question the amount of sugar they have. We question the amount of screen time they use. In a culture that says sugar is fine and subsidized, and why not buy more because it's cheaper? In a culture that says, here's another show and an automatic click back to the next one that's coming. Parents intercede and turn off the button and pull away the bowl. And for me, this is a wonderful metaphor of the role of elders in a community. That when we get so spun up and worried about participation in the church or volunteers and programs or our relationship to the community, the elders can step in and slow us down and draw our attention to the stories of when this has happened before and the ways in which they were given space by their elders to breathe until a new way of doing an old tradition came to them. I am thankful for the stories of the elders, for the olders who have struggled so hard in a society that pushes them aside, that tells them they have no purpose. I am so grateful for the love that stays alive and bubbles up and rises us to the point where we can see over all that we understand, to know that we are not called to abandon one another, that we are called to band together. Amen.